But we are in the book of Hosea today. We are in a series called Sweep the House, and this is about the book of Hosea, and we're really taking a deep dive. We're going chapter by chapter. And this week I have the opportunity to present 8, 9, and 10 to you. So I'm excited about that. But if you would, I know this is a little bit liturgical and maybe not customary for us, but I would like to stand up today when we read the word. We're gonna go into a few different verses, and we're gonna kind of move in and out of and transition. But I want to read, and I want us to be active, engaged listeners today, because I believe that there's a part of this that you're gonna have to go home and you're gonna have to wrestle with the Lord about. We're gonna have to wrestle. So let's read together as we go into Hosea chapter 6. Or chapter 8, 6, and 7, and it says this: "This calf you worship, O Israel, was crafted by your own hands. It is not God. Therefore, it must be smashed to bits. They have planted the wind and have harvested a whirlwind." Hosea chapter 8, 12 through 13: "Even though I gave them my laws, they acted as if those laws don't apply to them. The people love to offer sacrifices to me, feasting on the meat. But I do not accept their sacrifice. I will hold my people accountable for their sins, and I will punish them. They will return to Egypt." Jump over to Hosea 9 and chapter 7, or verse 7 and 8, and it says, "The time of Israel's punishment has come. The day of payment is here. Soon Israel will know this all too well. Because your great sin and hostility, you say the prophets are crazy. The inspired men are fools. The prophet is a watchman over Israel for my God, yet traps are laid for him wherever he goes. He faces hostility even in the house of God." Lastly, Hosea 10, 1 through 2 and 4, it says, "How prosperous Israel is, a luxuriant vine loaded with fruit. But the richer the people get, the more pagan altars they build. The more bountiful their harvest, the more beautiful their sacred pillars. The heart of the people are fickle. They are guilty and must be punished. The Lord will break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars." Verse 4, "They spout empty words and make covenants they don't intend to keep. So injustice springs up among them like poisonous weeds in a farmer's field." And this is our last part of reading today. Hosea 10, 12 through 15. It said, "I have planted the good seeds." I said, "Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. But you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sin. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that great armies could make your nation safe. Now the terrors of war will rise among your people. All your fortifications will fall, just as when Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel. Even mothers and children were dashed to death there. You will share that fate, Bethel, because of your great wickedness. When the day of judgment dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed." Lord, this is a hard word today, God. This is a hard word. God, because you indicted your people Israel for the sin that they planted, for the seeds that they planted. But God, we come to you today. We're ready to lay some stuff down. God, we've come today prepared to give some stuff up to you. God, we've come today prepared to lay down our self-image and our idols and the things that we hold dear to run closer to you. God, forgive us for the things that we have done. Father, we repent before you today, Lord. I pray that our hearts and our ears and our eyes would be open to your Spirit. Lord, that we wouldn't be afraid anymore to walk in the holiness of a holy God. God, remove the things in our life that keep us bound to our sin And we ask you to free us. We thank you for your loving correction, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you today on the subject of loving correction. Loving correction. Because I believe there's a place that we can get to with the Lord where not only the Lord lovingly corrects us, but that we learn to love his correction. We learn to appreciate his discipline. And I think that the Christian that can go to that place in their faith is the Christian that's just going to see more opportunities and more blessings, because you're going to stop looking at the things in your life and the surrounding circumstance as I'm being punished, but what you're going to look at it as, he loves me so much that he would set this up for me. And so if we could get to the place, church, where we start loving the correction of God and loving his discipline, then we would understand how to stop perpetuating sin in our life. That's what the ultimate goal is of a Christian, is that from the moment that I accept Christ, that I move further and further and further to the cross. That's what it's about. Whatever comes and goes in our life, our objective is to move further and further to the cross, closer to Jesus. That's our job. But there are some things that we are going through and that we might be enduring in our life right now, and it feels unfair. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It feels unfair that I have to go through this. It doesn't feel like I should have to go. I accepted Jesus in my heart, so I get a get out of jail free card. It doesn't work that way. There are still some seeds that we've sown that we're dealing with now. And I want to talk about today from the perspective of, what do we do? How do we rationalize? How do we contextualize what I'm going through right now, and how do I make it better so that I can learn instead of getting stuck or going backwards? That's what I want to talk about today. In chapter 8, it says, they have planted the wind and will harvest a whirlwind. And I'm telling you, that for 2 days, that wrecked me. That wrecked me, because he says, my people. He still calls them his. You're still his, even if you have to suffer a consequence. He still loves you enough, like a good dad, for us to suffer a consequence. What parent doesn't discipline their kid when they make a poor choice? The Bible says in Hebrews that he doesn't love us, and we're illegitimate if he doesn't punish us or discipline us. So we have to learn to get to the point where we can recognize, I blew it, I messed up, I made a mistake. I know I'm going to suffer a consequence for that, but I thank you that I'm going to learn my lesson and I'm not repeating that sin again. Because we do have to suffer consequences for our actions. You're always planting. It's a law that God put in motion before the foundations of the earth, and it's whatever you put in the ground, you reap a harvest of that. You're always planting. Always. You're always going to be reaping something for what you put in the ground. And so I want to talk about that today. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't suffer consequence. And we have to rightly look at that. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. Christ does not erase the temporal, the worldly effects of sin. Instead, our salvation guarantees that we do not face the eternal consequence of sin. That means that I can still be a Christian. I may make a mistake, but I'm not going to hell because of my mistake. Do we understand that? Do we know that in our mind? That I may suffer a consequence for that sin, but my standing with Christ is that I'm a child of God. What child makes a mistake and we kick him out of the family? It doesn't work that way. We don't do that. Your kid is your kid. You'd run after your kid, even if your kid was in jail. You'd run after your kid because they're your kid. And that's how God feels about us. There is a difference between the penalty of sin and the consequence of sin. Romans 6:23 says the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we have to lay a foundation of that. You might walk through a consequence for sin, but you have not been given the penalty for sin. Christ took that on the cross. So I can stand in right judgment with God and I can say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. I made a mistake. And there's forgiveness there, and there's grace, and there's mercy. I want to talk about three ways that we may suffer consequences or we may walk through consequences. And the first is this: universal consequences. Romans 5 and 12 says this: when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Everyone dies. Everyone walks through sickness. Those are universal consequences. We want to know, Lord, I accepted you in my heart. I'm a Christian. Why am I going through sickness? Why am I dealing with cancer? I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to. It's because of one man's sin that sin entered the world. But it was one man's sacrifice that paid the penalty for that. So we may suffer universal consequences. We're all going to die. I don't know anybody who's lived forever. Maybe you do, but I don't. We're all going to die. Those are universal consequences that we're going to face. The next way is this: natural consequences. This is the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you put in the ground, you're going to reap a harvest from that. This law is in full effect. And we want to stand on the promises of God that say, I'm a Christian. I don't have to suffer consequences. And God says, as a loving father, I need you to be a little bit disciplined right now. I need to apply discipline in this situation. And there are things that you're going to walk through that are going to feel like, Lord, I don't think I should have to pay, you know, face the penalty for that or the consequence for that, because that was a sin that I committed way before I even accepted you. And that's not the case. Some of us do have to walk through consequences. You do. Let me say it like this. If you're a drug dealer, okay, I'm going to say it like this. If you're a drug dealer and you go to jail, but you accept Christ in jail, do you get out of jail? No, you don't, because there's a natural consequence for that sin. There's a natural consequence to our sin and our decisions. And we have to recognize that no matter where I am, no matter what, I'm always sowing. I need you to get this today, church. Lord, I need you to help me communicate this today. We are going to have to deal with the ramifications for our actions. And we have to take ownership for our actions. And there are certain things that we feel like I shouldn't have to pay the penalty for that. I shouldn't have to suffer through that. And God's saying, I love you this much that I need you to walk through this. I heard one counselor say it this way: you're going to have to sit in your dirty diaper so that you do not repeat this pattern again. And that is how we break generational curses, church. That's how we tear down strongholds in the kingdom of God. Not by us getting a get out of jail free card. If that was the case, everybody would want to be a Christian. They don't suffer any consequences. That's not the case, because we've not been perfected. We're not perfect. We still make mistakes. We still fail. We still fall short. But God's grace is sufficient in those moments. And he doesn't give us what we deserve. He's a loving father, and he gently corrects. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says this: don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. there is a place that you can get to with the Lord where he can correct you before you ever make a mistake, before you ever take a step in that direction of sin. There's a place you can get to for that. The third area of consequences is disciplinary consequences. Some of sin's consequences are the result of God being a loving father. He still allows us to walk through areas. He doesn't magically, you know, change all the hardened, crazy areas of our heart. He doesn't do that. When you get saved, it's not that you just turn around and start floating on a cloud and then I'm perfect and I'm made in the image of Christ. It doesn't work that way. We still have to live in a fallen world. We still have to walk through life, and we still have a sin nature that has to be crucified daily. Daily. But I believe there are some things that the Lord doesn't necessarily deal with all at one time. Number one, because I do think it would probably kill us if he was like, listen, this is just it. We would be like, ah. But I do think that he shows us our sin because it keeps us dependent upon him. I believe that. As God's children, we experience discipline designed to guide us back to the right path. Hebrews 12:8 says this: if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. It does not matter if you are suffering consequences right now for actions that you made, whether they be universal, natural, or disciplinary consequences. Whatever those consequences are, whatever you're facing in this moment, dealing with in this situation, it is really important for us as the body of Christ to be able to say, I made a mistake. We have to take ownership of that. Because the fact that we blame shift, well, it was this person's fault, or it was because I didn't have this growing up, or it was because of that, puts you in a victim mentality, and it delays your growth in the Lord. Because we have to take ownership of what our actions did, what we did. The fact that I can do that means not that I'm, oh, we've arrived. What it means is that I'm in process. And that's what he asks of us. Are you drawing closer to me? Are you letting me do the work? When I reveal an area of your heart that is not submitted to me, are you able to readily accept, okay, Lord, I see what I did. I apologize. I make restitution for that. And then if there's a consequence, I don't get mad at God when I go through that consequence. I accept it. I understand it. Because he's taken the penalty of sin away. I don't have to die for my sin. I don't live in a country where I get stoned. And I'm grateful for that. But at the same time, we act like that sometimes, don't we? I'm just going to punish myself. I'm just going to punish myself until I make myself sick, and then it's all going to be better. It will never be better. Even on our best day, it's never better. It takes a loving father. It takes the sacrifice of Jesus in order to make it right. That's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We don't want the fairness of God. We want the justice of God. We want him to be able to make it right. I'm never, as long as I live on this earth, nothing will be right. Not all the pieces are going to fit together. Not everything that I walk through in life is going to feel like, oh, this is amazing. Not everything. Some things, yeah, we're going to have joy and we're going to have peace, and God's faithfulness is there and it's good. But there are certain things that we have to walk through that are hard. They're hard. And it's hard when God reveals your heart to you. If you're in a place where you are regularly sitting with him, where you are regularly opening the word of God, and you are allowing it to be a searchlight in your heart, you will understand more of the grace of God. You will understand more of just how hard he runs after you, how hard he pursues you, how hard he pursues your heart. The situations that you thought, man, that was going to kill me. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, because in your weakness, I'm made strong. in those situations that you thought, man, this is terrible. I'm going to get stuck, Lord. I'm going to get stuck. This situation is so hard and difficult that it's going to be hard for me to move past this. And then 5 years later, you look back and you say, man, that was the very thing that God used to propel me in my relationship with him. It was the very thing that kept me running to him. Israel was punished all along for their sin. Every time they would, you know, God would pull them out of slavery or pull them out of something. He would bless them. Their crops would grow. Their sheep would multiply. You know, they had all these things. And the Lord said, every time I do this for you, Israel, every time I bless you, you turn away from me. There's a place in our heart where we have to get to where we stop seeking the hand of God and we start seeking his face. We got to stop seeking, Lord, this is what you can do for me. This is how you can bless me. This is what I need from you right now. And we can just sit and say, Lord, the fact that you saved my life, the fact that I don't have to be eternally separated from you right now is enough for me. And I'm okay with whatever season of life, however you discipline me, however you show me about myself, however you help me get better, I'm okay knowing that it's a good place. You're coming from a good place, that he loves you. I need you to get that today, church. He loves you. You might be walking through a hard season. You might look at this message today and go, okay, I realize there's some aspects of what I'm walking through right now that are my own fault. Repent, turn away from it. That's it. That's what repentance is. It's saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and turning away from that. We're not going to exercise a course of sin. We're not going to walk in a pattern of sin. That's a generational curse. I was just telling, I think I was telling Malia this, I've really been feeling over the last year that the Lord is saying, I'm done with these generational curses in my church. I'm done with them. No more generations of that. No more generations of this. Take authority over it. And I've been recognizing, asking him, Lord, those areas of my life where I would want to repeat a sinful pattern because it's what I saw or it's because of what I knew, reveal it to me, God, so that my kids don't have to suffer the consequence of that sin. So that I can bridge the gap, so I can be who you've called me to be in this season at this time, so that we can raise up healthy generations who rightly look at the Lord, not as a magic genie in the sky who's just gonna hand out blessings. And the moment he doesn't, we turn away. The moment that he doesn't, we turn away. Richie and I were in youth ministry for 16 years before we planted this church. 16 years we watched students come in and out of the church. In and out of the church. Hundreds of kids. Hundreds. Parents, get your kids in the house of God. Raise them to love God. Love them. Pursue their heart so that when Jesus says, hey, I love you, they don't say, you're abusive, you're hateful, you're punishing, I can't serve that God. That's what we saw. That's why it took me 5 years to say yes to having kids. Because I was like, I'm going to mess them up. They're going to be crazy. Truthfully, you can ask him. That's not a joke. That's actually serious. But our objective as people of God, our objective, especially as parents, is that we raise grandparents, is that we raise kids in the fear and the admonition of Christ, not fear as in fear of punishment. Perfect love casts out fear. So if we're raising them to love God, we're going to raise them to say, hey, I know, baby, that you had to suffer a discipline or a consequence in this situation, but mommy loves you. And mommy is not going to remove my presence from you because you made a mistake. God has never removed his presence from you when you've made a mistake. He's stuck close to you, even in times of consequence. You want to know why? Because he's graceful, he's loving, he pursues you. So don't be afraid. Okay, I understand I'm walking through this right now. Don't be afraid to give him your weakness. Don't be afraid to go to him when you've made a mistake. Don't hide It was so silly when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid. Who are you hiding from? He sees it all. In your nakedness, in your shame, he sees it all. And he loves you in spite of it all. And the Bible says, while you were still afar off, he sent Jesus to the cross to die for your sin, to die for my sin. Y'all know I talk about this all the time. Every single time I have to preach a message, the Lord allows me to walk through the circumstance of what I'm preaching. So I'm going to be totally honest today. You know, I have no pretense. Band, if you want to come up. I can't lie in the house of God, so I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you know our company was sold, and so we were, you know, bought out, and there's change associated with that. We were all like, oh, it's going to be great and wonderful. And then, you know, change happens, and we're like, no! You know, we thought it was the same. Anyway, so there was change that happened in that. And I had to meet with my counterpart, the person that does my job now, but for that company. And so I had to meet with him, and I'm nervous. Obviously, I feel like I have to prove myself and prove what I do. And, you know, so I got there early in the morning. I think I got to the office at 6:30 a.m. and I like had everything laid out and spreadsheets and charts and Trello and all kinds of other things all laid out so that we could, you know, present the best of what we do. And so I'm presenting and he's telling me a little bit about what you do and da da da. So I start telling him and I start showing him about what we do and all these kinds of things. And he's like, wow. Wow. I'm really impressed. And he said, yeah, you're light years ahead of us. Oh, what? I was like, we got this in the bag. I was like, team, we got this in the bag. So then the more that he starts asking me questions, the more I feel my pride rising up inside of me. I feel it rising up inside of me. And I'm not even going to tell you all the things that I was telling myself at that moment. But I was telling Ariel this the other day, and I was like, Ariel, my heart is black. If I could tell you the things that I were thinking in that moment, I'm like, my heart is disgusting. Just like, For instance, I'm better than you. I'm going to have your job. I'm not going to lie to you in the house of God today. These are the things I'm thinking in my heart. And if we're honest, we all go into situations sometimes with pride. So I finish presenting. I finish giving all of this information. He goes out. I close my computer. I start walking out, and the Holy Spirit immediately speaks to my heart and says, we've got some work to do, don't we? We got some work to do. Because he lovingly exposed the content of my heart, although I had not vocalized it. I did not say it out loud. Obviously, I'm not going to tell this guy this, right? You know, but I didn't vocalize how I'm feeling it at that moment. But I thought it was in my heart. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, we have some work to do in this area. That next day when I was in my quiet time with him, I said, I'm ashamed. That's embarrassing. When God shows you the contents of your heart and it's ugly and you thought it was pretty, it's embarrassing. But the Lord said, this is what I want you to do in this season. And he gave me clear instructions on what to do in this season. Be humble, learn, and be teachable. Guys, there's a place we can get to with God where he can bring correction and discipline before we ever step into the trap of sin. Could you even imagine if I would have acted haughty or if I would? I'm telling you guys out loud, would never tell this guy. We have to burn this video. Burn this. Cannot go on the web. But can you even imagine if I would have acted out of that? Can you imagine if I would have gone into a new season carrying that pride in my heart? Could you imagine the place that I would have looked in their eyes? My objective in this season is to sit and to be teachable and to remain humble. Thank you, Jesus, for your correction. Thank you, Jesus, for your discipline. When you have that temptation of he looks good, she looks good, but you don't act on it because the Holy Spirit said, don't go there again. You break off generational curses. That's how you stop the plan of the enemy. Because he has a plan for your life and Jesus has a plan for your life. It's a like right ear, left ear. Devil on my shoulder, angel on the other side. It's like that situation. But our actions move us closer to the cross or they move us further away from the cross. And so in every season, that's why I said we have to sit with the Lord every day. I tell people this all the time. I have spent an hour at least with the Lord before I have even had a conversation with you because you didn't want to talk to me 2 hours ago. I'm just being real. Because it was ugly. Richie's laughing because he's like, I know. It's ugly. Truthfully, you have to sit with the Lord, open the Word of God, read it, allow it to wash over you so that your soul can be cleansed, so that he can show you, hey, in this area, you're about to make a big old mistake, and that seed that you're going to sow in 10 years, you don't want the crop that's going to come from that seed, Israel. So we're going to view it right now. Turn to me. Stop walking away from me. Stop making calves with your own hands. Stop making idols with your own hands. Stop building up your kingdom. Stop doing things in your flesh and then asking me to fix your mistake. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We will have to suffer the consequences for the seeds that we sow, good or bad. Prayerfully, we're putting more good in the ground. Prayerfully, we're walking in a pattern where we're putting more good seeds into the ground so that we can yield a good harvest of fruit from that. I want to challenge you this week, guys. I want to challenge you in your faith. Make a commitment that at least 15 minutes a day, you're going to get up and you're going to spend with the Lord. You're going to open the Word of God and you're going to say, Lord, just tell me what I need to know. Because I know that there's some stuff that I may not be doing right. There's a pattern of sin that I may not see ahead of me, but you do. There's a place that I'm about to step, even in my mind, that's going to set me up for disaster. But I want you to correct me, reveal it to me, show me my heart. Ooh, you want to see the grace of God? Ask him to show you your motives. Ugh. Don't do it unless you're ready. Because we think that we're here. And then when the Lord's like, oh, let me just show you a peek of what actually your heart looks like. You'll spend a week crying like you saw the Passion of the Christ for the first time again. Because we are sinful. We do make mistakes. But we have the grace of a God who said, I don't care what you did. I'm not going to make you suffer the penalty for that sin because my grace is sufficient for you. And if you run to me in your time of need, I'm going to help you. He might not remove the consequence, but he gives you the grace to walk through it. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, if we're being vulnerable with you today, if we're being honest in the house of God today, there's some work we all can do. Lord, give us the strength to be able to face our responsibility in the situations we're walking through. Give us the grace, God, to be able to rightly discern seasons and times. Help us to understand, Father, that it is only by your grace that we are here today. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you that we don't have to suffer the penalty for our sins. But God, we don't want to repeat sin. So we ask you to hem us in. Lord, we ask us in those moments of weakness, God, we thank you for caring more about our reputation than we do. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for guarding our minds. Lord, for keeping us close. God, I pray we wouldn't turn away, that we wouldn't run away when it gets difficult, when it gets hard. Father, but that we would be consistent, that we would consistently run after you. God, give us the grace to be able to say, I'm sorry. We thank you for repentant hearts. God, I pray you would teach us how to be repentant, to live a repentant life. And we thank you, Father God, that your grace is sufficient in our weakness, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.